Welcome to Your Career Podcast, the podcast that helps to ensure your career success. To start getting on track with your career, download my free career goals calendar from thecareersacademy.online. My goals calendar includes a SMART goals template and a weekly tasks sheet that will ensure step by step you get closer to reaching your career goals. So download my goals calendar today at thecareersacademy.online. Now on with the show.
Welcome to Jane Jackson Careers, a podcast that takes your career to the next level. Here's your host, Jane Jackson, author of Amazon Careers bestseller, Navigating Career Crossroads.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. You can get a free audiobook download and free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/Jane Jackson Careers. There are over 180,000 book titles to choose, so give it a go and get your free audiobook today from audibletrial.com/Jane Jackson Careers. Well, hello and welcome back to my careers podcast, where I interview amazing professionals who have made fascinating career changes. My guest today has had a really interesting career, so you're in for a treat. John Tarnoff is a reinvention career coach, speaker and author who helps his fellow baby boomers transition to meaningful and sustainable careers beyond traditional retirement. Fired 39% of the time over his 35-year career as a Los Angeles-based film producer, studio executive, and tech entrepreneur, he reinvented himself at the age of 50, going back to school to earn a counseling master's in spiritual psychology. This transition to a career focused on training and career development brought him back to entertainment, where he served as head of show development for DreamWorks Animation from 2003 to 2009, developing culture-changing creative leadership training and college recruiting programs. Since 2010, he co-runs the Los Angeles-based Entertainment Industry Management Master's Degree Program for Carnegie Mellon University. He is the author of the forthcoming book, Boomer Reinvention, How to Create Your Dream Career After 50. And listeners will know that I am all in for reinvention and for wonderful careers for those over the age of 50. So let's welcome to the show, John Tarnoff. And hello, John.
Hi, Jane. It's great to be with you here from Los Angeles.
Well, I'm so thrilled that you're here because it's 11 in the morning in Sydney, and I believe on a Friday, and I believe it's 6 p.m. in LA on Thursday. So thank you for speaking with me before your dinner. So,
it's my pleasure.
So we're
trying to catch up with you.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I know this. It's such a huge, huge time gap. So, but the wonderful thing about Skype and technology is that the world is much smaller now, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. And even though we're both baby boomers, we are so up to speed with technology. So how about, just to kick us off, can you tell us a little bit about your early days and what sort of career aspirations did you have as a young teenager and then into your early 20s?
Well, I was fascinated by technology and by movies. And I think what drew me to the film industry and entertainment in general was the fact that it's really hard to pin down how it works. And I think I've always been fascinated by how things fit together and what the moving parts are. So it seemed to me as I was starting out that there were so many interesting things to learn in the process of making films and TV shows, etc., that I was drawn to that complexity and wanted to master as much of it as I could. And the kind of inciting question for me was, as I came out to film school in Los Angeles from New York, was why does this one script get made and this other script not get made? What are the factors that go into formulating an attractive project that is attractive to creative talent and creative to finance and distribution and ultimately to the audience? So that became my career path into my 20s, through my 30s. By the time I got into my 40s, I kind of hit a wall, and I not so much got to the end of my rope, but it's a tough business, you know, and you have to have a bit of a thick skin. And when I started, I didn't. I learned how to roll with the punches. The entertainment business is a business where they love to knock you down, but they also love to see you get back up. So if you have that kind of willingness to jump back up and dust yourself off and try again, then you can become part of the club. But in the early 90s, I was increasingly drawn to what was going on in technology. And I remember a friend of mine telling me to go out and play a game called Myst, M-Y-S-T. And I don't know if you remember this or your listeners who are older would remember this, but this was a real game changer in the video game world. And I mean, I'm probably going into too much detail, but it was a great, great eye-opener for me about what could be done with technology and entertainment. And so I kind of veered off into the 90s, into the tech world, and wound up meeting a really innovative guy. And we started a company in the tech bubble in the mid to late 90s that was not an entertainment company at all. It was using entertainment ideas, but it was really a company that was using artificial intelligence and animation to create animated characters that you could have a conversation with online. And the purpose of this was education, training, and customer service. And right as we were undergoing a successful launch of that company in 2001, the whole tech sector cratered and the tech bubble burst, and our company burst along with it. And all of the additional financing that we had in place and the deals, all of that stuff fell apart. We kind of limped through the next year or so. And finally, you know, you were talking about this reinvention at age 50. That happened as a result of breaking my leg one Friday afternoon after a particularly depressing week at my startup. And I came home and I was rummaging around in the garden. I took a fall and broke my leg. And my then wife rushed me, dragged me into the car to the hospital. And after this was all done, I was, you know, in the cast and sitting at home with the leg up on the couch, kind of immobilized and thinking, what is the message that the universe has for me here? What is the lesson that I need to learn? And that's really what prompted me to change my life, to kind of put the final closing lock and key on the startup and go back to school to earn my spiritual psychology degree.
What an interesting story. You know, it's funny that you say it took breaking your leg to make you think, what am I going to do? Because obviously, you know, with the tech bubble bursting and there being that tech crash, and you obviously would have put lots of time, effort and money into building this business. Sometimes we get so focused on a certain direction that when it's time to make a change, we're afraid to, or we don't even realize it's time to. So I think that breaking the leg definitely was a big wake up call, wasn't it? And the blessing was that you discovered a new direction. And
yes.
But what a change. That was a huge change, you know, from being in the entertainment business and, you know, you had your time as producer, studio executive, getting into, you know, the tech bubble and this animation and artificial intelligence, which is just so exciting, isn't it? So it would have been hard to kind of let it go. But if all the warning signs and, you know, the economy aren't with you, what can you do? But what made you decide spiritual psychology?
Well, you know, the interesting thing about being in entertainment and being on the creative side in a management capacity is that you're having to constantly manage creative talent, which means that you kind of become a bit of a psychologist in order to survive. You really have to understand the creative mindset, and you really have to understand how to work with people in situations that can be very, very fraught, where you're trying to solve problems on a schedule, on a budget, that really have no obvious solution. So you have to kind of create those solutions on the fly. And the way to do that really is to understand how to get the best out of people, how to work with them. So the concept of psychology and counseling psychology was not that far removed from all the work that I had done. And I figured that it was an opportunity for me to, at the very least, get to know myself better. And perhaps through getting to know myself better, improve my ability to work with other people. So that's really what got me into it. And what was attractive to me about the spiritual psychology program was that it was a focus on counseling psychology from a compassionate point of view, from the idea that we all need to take complete responsibility for our lives, which is not to say that we take the blame for stuff that happens to us, but that we take responsibility for how we're going to respond to the cards that we're dealt. And I learned a tremendous amount about myself, about people. And in the process of undergoing that degree, I really shifted my focus from an interest in, remember that thing I said about why does one script get made and another script not get made? I really began to wonder about people and why does this one person succeed and why does another person not succeed? So that shift really caused me to start talking in a different way. And when I started going out on interviews, I was obviously saying something different and became interesting to different people in different ways. And the DreamWorks job came about in a very, very strange, miraculous way. They really weren't looking for someone for a particular job, but they met me through some mutual friends, a guy I knew who worked there and some other people. And it just kind of worked out that I became the right kind of person for them at the right particular time when they were at a point of expanding their operation out of startup mode, and they needed a lot of people development. And so we got together, and I had 6 fantastic years there, and Jeffrey Katzenberg kind of gave me the run of my particular bailiwick, which I kind of staked out, and it was a great run. But when it was over, it was over. And that was a kind of an interesting episode in and of itself.
So you really reinvented yourself, you know, at the age of 50, yep, going back, gaining another degree in something a little bit different, but still very close to your heart. And what's interesting is that having done that, you went back into the entertainment industry. So same industry, but in a completely different capacity.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, always as a leader before, but before it was more like tech entrepreneur and studio executive and producer. But this time really focusing on, you know, like leadership training and the college recruiting programs when you're at DreamWorks. So that was like a semi-reinvention in a way. And you obviously, you know, were able to stay up to speed with things that were changing and what was required, and basically really helped DreamWorks to be able to have their employees as more productive, more motivated. And right. So it must be really rewarding to see the change.
Right. Well, you bring up something interesting about reinvention. And this idea is that I think we have these ideas about what reinvention is, what reinvention isn't. And a lot of people are afraid of the word reinvention, and they think that it's too radical, and they think that it's unrealistic. And I do agree that we have examples and representations in the media about people reinventing themselves in these wild ways and kind of on the spur of the moment, you know, turning on a dime and winding up in this fantastic, glamorous new career. And the truth is that reinvention can be a very arduous process. It can be a very earth-shattering process for someone to leave a whole career behind and move into a new phase. But I think it is also possible to reinvent oneself in one's work, in one's own company or the company that one works for, and move on to a new phase, a new dispensation, which represents a real shift of attitude and a real shift of focus. So that kind of speaks to what I did, because I did not go from entertainment into, I don't know, oil and gas exploration or civil engineering or, I don't know, you know, something completely crazy. And people do things like that. But I was able to stay in my industry, but reinvigorate my career, come at it from a different point of view, use all of the experience that I had on one side to inform and support what I was doing in this new area. So I think there are lots of different ways that we can reinvent ourselves. And part of the focus that I try to bring to the work that I do as a coach is to remain open for each person to help them figure out what is their particular approach to reinvention.
You know, a lot of the clients that I work with who are, well, what we call mature age workers in Australia, by the age of 45, you're considered a mature age worker. There's an element of fear and doubt when they're forced to make a change, perhaps through a redundancy or whatever the situation might be. It sounds like you've been very successful with reinventing, but was there ever a time when you started to doubt yourself, or did you feel any fear? And if so, how did you get over it?
Every time, Jane, every time I have experienced a downturn, and it's been in situations where I have completed an assignment, so films that I've produced. I mean, we all have this postpartum experience of facing the void, whatever that void may be. of having to kind of get out there and start again. And whether it is because we've made the decision or the commitment to do something different, or whether someone has made that decision for us, that fear of the void is always there. And someone once said to me in an interview, oh, you seem to do this very well. And I said, well, I don't know if I do it very well. I may have gotten used to having to do it, but that doesn't mean that it's not difficult to do. And I mean, case in point, when I left DreamWorks in 2009, that was a kind of a mutual decision. The company was evolving in a different direction, and they were kind of shutting down on a lot of the blue sky development work that I had done. And all the chairs in the musical chairs game were kind of full. And I had this kind of amazing sit down with the COO, to whom I reported. And I said to her, look, you know, is there really anything else for me to do here? And she kind of looked at me embarrassedly and said, you know, I love what you've done. We all love what you've done here. But no, I don't think that there is. And I said, well, okay, that's fair enough. It's been a great run. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? If it's time to move on, it's time to move on, because there's all sorts of stuff that actually I would love to do. And if I can't do it here, then I'm just going to have to go off and do it somewhere else. So on one level, it was a really kind of evolved process leaving that company. And they were very nice to me. And in the exit, they still invite me to all the parties, which is nice. But when I got home and I didn't have to go into the office anymore, it hit me. Okay, you know, I got to kind of get back into the process here. And it's lonely. And even if you're in part of a family, it's always going to be lonely because you have to get yourself out there again. So it's always challenging. But I think there are tools. And the challenge for me doing this in 2009, having graduated from my spiritual psychology program in 2005, while I was actually at DreamWorks, was, okay, I've got this degree. I've got all this stuff. I've reinvented myself once. Can I do this again? And sure enough, you know, it does work. And it's not necessarily always easy to do. It's not rolling off a log, but there is process to it, and there are wins along the way, and it works.
Yeah, I think so much that comes through is really having that open attitude to, okay, what else, what next, what is realistic, and what might not be realistic. Because now you've reinvented, and you're co-running the LA-based entertainment industry master's degree program.
Right.
At Carnegie Mellon University. So tell me about that.
These things happen. I say to my grad students and I say to my boomer clients, you never want to be chasing an open position. You always want to be chasing a relationship. And this position came about because of a relationship. And in reinventing ourselves, I think one of the first things we need to do is focus on those relationships. After we've done all of the prep work and the reconciliation work about who we've been and what our attitudes have been, where we want to go, et cetera, all the prep work and the visioning work about the kind of work we would like to do, the way we get those positions is through relationships. And through the work that I had done in academia from DreamWorks, I happened to know someone in a particular department at Carnegie Mellon. And he called me up after I left DreamWorks. He said, you know, there's a program in Los Angeles that's new, that's struggling, and there's some changes being made, and they might really be interested in you. So, I mean, that was one of a number of possible leads that I was exploring. And I had no idea that it would work out, but it has worked out splendidly over the last 6 years. And what can I say? I love working with young people, and it's a kind of a great responsibility to have these new careers in hand and to provide the guidance and the support for them to launch themselves into the business. And it's been a great ride.
Yeah. And actually, with the work that you're doing at Carnegie Mellon and then with the graduates that are coming out, there's so much that you must be coaching and assisting the baby boomers with that actually translates back to the young ones. Because what you said, I really like this quote of yours, John, and I'm going to use it a lot. You know, when looking for a career reinvention or looking for a new position, don't chase a position, chase a relationship. because I'm glad you didn't just say networking, because people always think, oh, networking, it's a bit schmoozy and smarmy. But it's true. Don't chase a position, chase a relationship, because really the relationship that if somebody knows what you can do, they know your attitude, they like you as well, then opportunities can arise.
Yeah, I think that's true. And thank you for pointing out that relationship. I love the fact that I'm working on both ends of people's careers. Mm. Or actually, I'm not working on, I should modify that. I'm working on the entry level, but I'm not working at the other end, at the final end of the career. I'm working at the midpoint, at the end of the first act and the beginning of the second act. Because now we are, as boomers, going into this concept of the second act career. Whereas in the past, we thought about this as a single act, and we got a good education that qualified us to have a good career, and then we would retire. But now we have this window of opportunity because we're living longer. This generation does not want to slow down. But we have experience and we have wisdom that doesn't necessarily apply to what we did in that first act. So now I think for many of us, particularly because at this stage in our lives, naturally, we are drawn to seek out more meaning and purpose in our careers. We have this impulse to strive for a second act career. So that's why the relationship element is so important, because we don't want to be going to work for a company that doesn't get us, doesn't understand us, doesn't really value us for all of the great things that we have to contribute. We want to be working with people who have the same kind of sense of affinities that we have about work and values and goals and lifestyle and purpose and why our work is making a contribution to the lives of our customers and our vendors, our partners. All of those things are much more important to us at this stage than just making money.
I love the way you're saying, you know, like the first act and the second act, and your entertainment background and is coming through as well. So after act one, what are we going to do in act two for our career? And actually, that leads us very nicely on to, because you're a sought after speaker as well, and you have this fantastic TEDx talk called The Kids Are Still All Right, which is one of those songs from our generation. And you talk about, you know, how baby boomers are concerned about the future. So can you tell me a little bit about your TEDx talk and obviously Act Two, the baby boomers, the future and their careers?
Well, the TEDx talk is really where I introduced this idea of the five reinvention steps that are kind of central to my coaching practice and that I go into in great detail in the book. And those five steps really have two groups. There are two groups of steps. The first three steps, which I call the reconciliation steps, are the ideas of reframing, listening, and accepting. So over time, we've all grown comfortable and accustomed to certain ways of looking at the world, looking at ourselves, looking at what we can do, how the world works. And I invite people to question all of those assumptions about who we are, what we can do, what our limitations are. Because very often, if we explore these limiting beliefs, we will see that we can do more than that. We can burst out from the limitations that we've imposed on ourselves or that we've bought into because they've been imposed from the outside, the structures of the companies that we've worked in, the working relationships there, et cetera. And then the second step is to listen, because at this point, if we're going to make a change, we need some feedback. We need to see how the world perceives us. And I recommend that everyone goes out and picks a handful of close friends and colleagues or former colleagues and sits down for a really intense feedback session to really get a sense of how these people see us and, you know, what they see as our strengths and weaknesses and where they think we should go and what they think we should do. Not that we necessarily want to believe everything that we hear or agree with everything that we hear, but it's really important to get this feedback. And then the third reconciliation step is the acceptance step. By this time in our lives, we've burned some bridges. People have burned bridges with us. There's baggage that we bring to the equation here. And I think it's very, very important for us to accept all of these negative experiences as lessons and to realize that even though we may have had some hard knocks and we may have had some bad experiences, that those have gotten us to where we are today. And we now have the opportunity to step forward, step free of those limitations and those bad experiences and the judgments that we may have placed against ourselves or others. This is where the spiritual psychology comes in, and step free of that. Because if we don't do that, it's very likely that some of these hesitations and some of these old hurts are going to rear their heads, and you know, we're going to say the wrong thing in an interview, or we're going to hold ourselves back from making that phone call because we're not really sure about whether we should or could or would be the right person, or, you know, there may be some lingering doubts. So it's important to clear those and then step free. And then the final two reinvention steps are what I call express and connect. And the express part is the fun part. It's the workshopping that we need to do to figure out what the hell we're going to do now. And using all sorts of psychological techniques, from journaling and visioning to mind maps and vision boards, and, you know, whatever we can do to begin to put our ideas together for what we'd like to do next, and start to make those plans and identify with this new focus that we are going to pursue. And then in the connect phase, back to the question of pursuing relationships versus job openings, it really is about, and I know you hesitate to use the word networking, it's a fine word, networking. It really speaks to the fact that we are living in a much more interconnected society today, a much less hierarchical society, and that in those network nodes, there are opportunities, but we have to get out there. And as Pete Townsend says in the song, "The Kids Are All Right," I know I have to step out into the light. And as I say in the TEDx talk, in the song, this is 1965, he's talking about asking a girl to dance. But the same principle applies for us today. We have to be willing to engage. We have to be willing to take that risk of going out there and meeting new people and being vulnerable and learning what we need to learn. And through those fits and starts, finding a group of people with whom we resonate, who will have our back, just as we will have their back. And networking is not a one-way street. It's not about what can you do for my career, what can you do for my career. It's about finding ways that we can share what we know and what resources we can bring to the table with other people, and then we will receive back from them. So that's a brief overview of the program and of that talk.
Those five reinvention steps are so important, and it makes so much sense. Reframe, listen, acceptance, express, connect. And really, if you can remain connected, I agree with you so much, John, that it really is the connections where you're going to be able to explore, feel comfortable and safe and confident as well with the feedback that you're going to get. And then that's where the introductions will happen. And you just never know where the opportunities will arise. So absolutely, this is what your book, Boomer Reinvention, How to Create Your Dream Career After 50, covers also?
Yes. Yep. It's all okay. About getting into the weeds with that and giving the reader a number of opportunities and lessons and workshops and exercises to try that out in their own careers.
Oh, that's amazing. When is this book coming out, John?
It's currently scheduled for sometime between September and October of this year, 2016.
Okay, well, make sure you let me know, because I want to be one of the first to have a copy as well. And absolutely, I just want to let people know that if they Google John Tarnoff TEDx talk, they're going to find that talk, "The Kids Are Still All Right." I love it that it's called that, because, you know, like, we're the baby boomer kids, aren't we? And yes, as long as we stay open and willing to change with a great attitude and continue to learn, we will be all right.
Absolutely, Jane. We are and will continue to be all right. And we really have so many more resources at our disposal than we sometimes realize. And it can be initially very intimidating if you've worked for the past 10 or more years in a certain company with a great group of people, and you find yourself suddenly cast out on the street. You know, all of our basic instincts tell us that life is over, but it is not. It is actually just beginning. It is really very fortunate for many people who find themselves in these apparently dire straits to wake up after a few months and realize that they have so much more opportunity and such a better prospect for their lives going forward than they had ever imagined. And just statistically, I'm sure you know this and talk about this a lot, we all get happier as we get older. So we may as well start now.
Absolutely right. And I have to admit, you know, I'm in my mid heading to late 50s, and I feel so much more in control of my life. And I know exactly what I want to do, because all of that tough stuff, I've learned so much over the years, good things, bad things, transitions, reinvent. You realize that as long as you stay open, you can always create the life that you desire as well. And staying healthy is very important.
Yes.
Isn't it? I think you do such valuable, valuable work, John. And I just want to direct listeners to your website. You tell them, where can they find you, John?
It's very easy. It's just johntarnoff.com, J-O-H-N-T-A-R-N-O-F-F as in Frank.com. And there I am.
Too easy. What I'll do is I'll have the link to your website on my show notes on janejacksoncoach.com. I'll also mention the name of your book that's coming out, Boomer Reinvention, How to Create Your Dream Career After 50. We're both on a mission, really, to assist those, you know, mature age workers to make sure that they stay positive and focused and know how to reinvent. So I think I'm going to become part of your tribe, John.
Please, you already are.
That's so wonderful. You know, I could talk to you all day, but can I have you back in September, October when your book comes out?
Please.
And let's talk about it and, you know, let everybody know, you know, the book launch and how things go, because I think we've got plenty to discuss, and I can let you know some of the successes of my mature age clients as well.
Great. Great. I would love to do that. So thank you so much for the invite.
Oh, it's a great pleasure for me. So thanks so much for your time. I know it's coming up to about 7 o'clock in Los Angeles this evening for you, and it's about lunchtime for me in Sydney. And I really appreciate it.
Let's go have a meal.
Yes, we should. A virtual one over Skype. But thank you so much, John. It was lovely speaking with you. And we'll have you back on the show again in September or October.
Take care. We'll talk again.
Okay, bye. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. You can get a free audiobook download and free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/Jane Jackson Careers. There are over 180,000 book titles to choose, so give it a go and get your free audiobook today from audibletrial.com/Jane Jackson Careers.
You've been listening to Jane Jackson Careers. Sign up to receive regular career advice at janejacksoncoach.com.
If you enjoyed this episode of Your Career Podcast, I invite you to check out my career success program at thecareersacademy.online. The Career Success Program is the original program that uniquely provides 24/7 on-demand career support and fortnightly live career coaching sessions to keep you on track to reach your career goals. It is the essential resource for anyone who wants to manage their career effectively, make a career change, and land the job they'll love. Whether you're in exploration mode or seeking a new career direction and need help to make it a reality, the Career Success Program is for you. Not only do you get access to my step-by-step roadmap to navigate your career crossroads, my extensive training library and exclusive members-only discounts and tools, you'll also become part of my supportive community of professionals who will help you with feedback, encouragement, and advice. All this and more makes the Career Success Program the number one place to be for anyone looking to start, manage, and grow their career. Check it out and join me at thecareersacademy.online.